Hello everyone and welcome to this very special episode of The Longest Night. Today I'm going to be chatting with Fabian Wagner, who was the director of photography on 8 Game of Thrones episodes, including Hard Home, Battle of the Bastards and The Winds of Winter, amongst others. We chatted for a bit about Fabian's time on the show and his memories of working with David Benioff and Dan Weiss, amongst other things, so of course our discussion will contain spoilers for all 8 seasons of Game of Thrones. Just to let you know, when we recorded this interview, the premiere date for the HBO prequel series House of the Dragon had not been officially announced yet, which is why at one point Fabian says that he can't say anything about its official release. In the time since we recorded the interview, it has been announced that House of the Dragon will air on the 21st of August 2022. And of course, The Longest Night will be covering every single episode of that first season. Okay, this is just one final spoiler warning. All 8 seasons of Game of Thrones are going to be discussed in this interview, so please don't continue if you're not caught up. And without further ado, here is my chat with Fabian.
Fabian, thank you very much for coming on The Longest Night. This is a really huge honour. I think you are the person who was most involved with the later period of the show that we've had on before. It's really exciting to be talking to you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on, and I'm glad you're excited and obviously a fan of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, really am. And everyone listening is as well. This is the most attention that any kind of project I've done has ever gotten before. We don't have a huge audience, but we do have a small and dedicated one. And that's proof, if anything, that something I'm putting out into the world is getting such a huge following. That shows how much people love what I'm talking about. Where are you calling me from today, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm actually in Switzerland, currently in Zurich. I'm just doing a commercial, so I'm only here for a few days.
Oh, wow. Yes, because when we were organizing this interview, you were sort of saying, oh, I might be an hour ahead of you. So make sure you get the timings
right. Yeah, I've been in various places. I was in Estonia last week for another commercial, and then back in London for 7 hours before I came here. So
how much time do you get to yourself? Like, sleep?
Oh, no, I get a good... Well, I mean, I've got 2 young kids as well, so you don't get that much sleep, but enough.
Oh, good. Just for people who don't know, the role of a director of photography in the if you could use an example from Game of Thrones, what is the role of a DOP on a show like Game of Thrones?
Well, you know, I think the role of the DOP is always the same, no matter whether you do a film or a TV show or a commercial. I mean, especially for narrative things like films and TV shows, you know, you're the eyes of the director, and you're sort of there to take their creative ideas and bring them to life with visuals. I mean, that's sort of the general kind of description. And you know, there is more to that, but obviously on a show like Thrones, which is very involved, a long-standing show with many episodes, also many different DOPs working on it, you know, there's also a certain, you know, look that you have to follow. There's a certain visual loyalty to that show that you have to adhere to. So all of that plays into it.
Okay. Yeah, I was kind of thinking one of my later questions was actually going to be about, you know, Game of Thrones has a particular, to my eyes anyway, it has a particular house style, even amongst the many genres and styles that it covers and how many seasons it has and episodes. With a show like Game of Thrones, how do you, with your episodes that you do, because even in the 8 episodes that you're credited on, the range of scenes that you have to shoot are so diverse. I'm thinking, you know, I think in the first episode you did, correct me if I'm wrong, was season 4, episode 6, Tyrion's Trial, or so, Wars of Gods and Men. So yeah. You have, you know, you come in and you'd have to set up a scene like that where it's, you know, quite a lot of extras involved, but it's one set and you can move a camera within it. Whereas by the end, you're doing something like The Bells, which comprises of multiple sets, huge set pieces. Mm. If you can, it may be a little hard to explain with words, but how do you make sure that all those types of scenery and all those types of episodes feel uniform, like they look like they and feel like they come from the same show?
I mean, obviously, when you join a show as a DP, you have to be aware of the fact that, I mean, unless there's something that the people who make the show aren't happy with particularly, you know, you have to adhere to a certain look that has been established and that works. And obviously we on Game of Thrones, we've had some amazing DPs earlier on who have set that look, especially I think it kind of developed into Thrones on season two, I think. You know, Kramer Morgenthau, Jonathan Freeman, you know, some incredible DPs who set up that look that became the Game of Thrones look. Everyone coming in after that, you know that and you respect that and you work with that. Now, I always say that, you know, it's like a bubble, and that bubble is the show. And as long as you, in that bubble, there's loads of different things that you can do to make things your own, because all of us, all DPs are different. We all light slightly differently. We all see things in a slightly different way. And so, you know, we all want to put our own kind of stamp on things, but within that bubble, it gives you that whole range. And as long as you don't go outside that bubble and really burst the sort of Game of Thrones look, you can do whatever you want to do, you know, as long as it fits into the overall look of the show. So, you know, it's a challenge, and you know, it's fun, and you know,
it's just the way that you've said that you came in on season four, and there was an established, like you say, loads of DOPs had already worked on the show, and so you were able to kind of move into this bubble, as you say. Moving from shooting something like Tyrion's Trial straight into Hardhome, is your process relatively the same for shooting what is chiefly a dialogue sequence to something that's very minimal with dialogue and has quite a lot of combat and quite a lot of fast cuts and things like that? How did you adapt to that transition when you were first handed that script for Hardhome and it's like, oh, I didn't do anything like this in season four? how do you begin to approach something like Hardhome after doing something like episodes like Mockingbird and The Lords of Gods and Men?
I mean, obviously, I think for all of us, it's nice to do different things. One of the great aspects of this job is that everything is different. Every day is different. Every job is different. And I love that I can go from a very dialogue-heavy show or episode to something that's much more action-heavy. They both have their challenges. I think my approach is always the same. You know, you're looking for the best way of telling the story, whether it's an action sequence or a dialogue sequence. Now, it's hard to say sometimes actually which one is more difficult, because Tyrion's Trial was an interesting sequence that, you know, I don't even know how long that was, but it must have been 20 minutes at least.
Yeah.
And it's all in one set. It's all in one location. So you have to keep that interesting visually over the course of a long time in one set. That's not that simple. I think what I did in that episode, actually, we did like a passage of time. So we went through various times. Like, I think it started in the afternoon, went to the evening, and then to nighttime, even, I think, if I remember correctly, to visually break it up and to make it more interesting over the course of the 20 or 30 minutes, so we don't repeat ourselves. And you have to find different camera angles that, you know, emphasize the story at a certain point. So that's quite tricky in one location. In that respect, probably an action sequence like Hardhome is easier because you can find some cool shots and, you know, there's lots of action going on. But that, obviously, an action sequence like that, or like Battle of the Bastards, is much more intensive from a overall organization. You know, you suddenly have 500 extras, you've got 60 horses, 60 horse riders, 60 stuntmen, and all of those aspects come into it. So you know, they both have their challenges, but, you know, it's something that I think all of us embrace and love, and, you know, that's what it's all about.
With something like that you've just mentioned, actually, with something like Battle of the Bastards, where it's hundreds of extras, dozens of horses, and things like that. How do the meetings go? Like, you're handed a script, presumably by Dan and Dave, who say, okay, we'd like it to look like this. Could you estimate what you think is needed and what you think is necessary? How do those negotiations and meetings go down? Because I know that obviously from script to screen, there are lots of changes along the way. And I imagine you have a lot of input on what those changes are. What is it like, the back and forth between yourself and Dan and Dave, and obviously in the case of Battle of the Bastards, Miguel, about, what's the process from page to screen?
It can be a long process, and it mostly is. It's less of a battle. It's more of a collaboration. I mean, normally, David and Dan have some great ideas, a lot of great ideas, and, always come up with a very interesting script, but then, you have to go through it and, make it feasible for the time that we have. When we were doing Battle of the Bastards, Miguel and I had already done Hard Home and another episode on season 5. And we, we didn't know each other before, but we sort of got thrown in together in the deep end, and it became a really fruitful and really interesting and great relationship that we've developed. And so after Hard Home, we were very confident that we will be fine doing Battle of the Bastards. But I think, we spend a lot of time going through the script, and then for us, the main thing was we both said straight away, they wanted it to be a great battle, like nothing that's ever been seen on TV before. And so it was huge in the script, and quickly we sort of realized that we need to make it about something that we all care about, and we have to be a little bit more, we have to emphasize one character more than the rest. And so that's how the whole Jon Snow sort of following him into the battle storyline came along, and which I think worked very well, but it also helped us with the schedule, it helped us with shooting. And so once we've had that figured out, and once we talked to David and Dan about it, I mean, that's more of a Miguel thing. They talk about that, they figure it out, they rewrite the script, and then, you constantly progress and you constantly, keep going and coming up with new ideas until you actually shoot it,
Yeah. Did you find, I just wanted to say, by the way, with regards to Battle of the Bastards, we've only just covered that on the show. And Lizzie, my friend, my co-host, has watched that episode for the first time. And I mean, I know, I imagine a lot of people say this to you anyway, and you don't need mine or Lizzie's extra validation. But the first thing she said when she came away from that episode was like, yeah, I really don't think I've ever seen anything like that on TV before, especially at that size. And obviously she hasn't seen The Long Night yet, which in my opinion somehow goes even bigger and goes even larger, where somehow it feels just, you think you've seen everything with something like Battle of the Bastards, and then you see something like The Long Night and it's like, oh, how wrong I was. Just going, actually, while I'm talking about that, going from Battle of the Bastards into The Long Night, Do you agree? Do you feel like The Long Night was a slightly larger job than Battle of the Bastards? Or because that's the consensus, that's what people generally think. But do you agree?
The Long Night was absolutely massive, like nothing that's ever been done before, I think, on TV especially.
Yeah, 55 night shoots. How often were you on set for those infamous 55 nights and 11 days afterwards, or however long it was?
I think we shot for 75 days, so it must have been 20 days after.
Wow.
The 55 nights. I mean, I was there for 55 nights and 55 days, pretty much.
How did you find that? Apart from exhausting, which goes without saying.
I mean, it's just when you don't, I don't think you necessarily think about it in the beginning. It was, David and Dan always said they wanted to top Battle of the Bastards and make something that's even bigger. So we all knew what we were getting into. Obviously 55 nights is a long time to shoot during the night, but then, people do day in and day out jobs throughout the night, for 20, 30 years. So it was exhausting because you kind of, I was probably on set, I would say. I mean, we were shooting in Northern Ireland in February, I think. So it would sort of get dark around 6 o'clock maybe. So I would be on set for maybe about four, and then you start shooting at 6, and then you wrap at 6 in the morning, and you'd be back home by 8, you know. So it was pretty intense, but, you know, we had a lot of fun, and I personally think it was a great episode.
Yeah, same.
And so, yeah, I mean, I look back on it very fondly.
I hope one day that I'm able to go to my local cinema and just ask them to play that on a cinema screen, just in the setting that I really want to go and see it in, because watching
I think,
it.
I mean, that was the idea. I'm not sure whether it's still good, but we saw it in LA. They showed it in the cinema, I think, the night before it came out. And then I also saw it in London in the cinema at the National Film School. So,
wow. It's such an incredible, and it's one of those episodes, I think, where, I mean, obviously you'll know about like the instant reaction to it, but sometimes, like, I think with an episode that large, people's instant reactions can often be slightly ill-informed. Yeah, impulsive and slightly ill-informed, in the sense that, like, the episode is so massive that it's quite hard to take it all in. And you feel, you know, the internet culture and social media culture makes you think that you must react to this immediately, and you must have a cemented opinion about it almost immediately. But that episode is so, so large, and it makes me... I mean, one of the reasons that I come back to Game of Thrones so much is it's often hard to believe that people made it and that people were responsible for it, as opposed to just a thing that popped into the universe like a big bang. Like I noticed that as well in the credits, there is always a name in Game of Thrones that's right next to yours, which is Miguel Sapochnik. What is your relationship like with him over Game of Thrones? Like, why did you two keep working together? Like, what kept you coming back to each other?
Well, I mean, you know, it's comparable to a relationship that you have with your partner. You know, you find your friends. You know, you find the people that you enjoy working with. And like I said, Miguel and I met on season 5. And it was, we hadn't worked together before. And it sounds cheesy, but it was like a match made in heaven, I guess. We just got on very well straight away. We were on the same wavelength creatively and visually, and became good friends, you know. And when you work with a director who is a friend, someone that you... you know, respect, and you can also have some fun with, and, you know, it just becomes an even more enjoyable job, you know. And I've been very fortunate in my career that I've been working a lot repeatedly with people, because, you know, we go on. And also, I think, you know, to me, loyalty is a big thing, you know. So for Miguel, you know, he obviously, it's out now, but he asked me to come and do House of Dragons.
Yeah.
Which is probably creatively in the beginning not necessarily something I wanted to do straight away, purely because of the fact that I had done Game of Thrones for so long.
Yeah.
You know, but just the fact that it was him, you know, I think loyalty is a big thing.
How much are you allowed to say about House of the Dragon?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Nothing.
I mean, to be honest, I think that's fair enough. I mean, I was probably going to edit this bit out of the episode anyway. I just wanted to check first before I started asking you any questions, because I didn't want to put you in an awkward position where I ask you a long question about House of the Dragon and then you say, NDA, I'm really sorry.
You won't put me in an awkward position. I just won't say anything.
That's okay.
Well, they're going to cut my head off like Sean Bean's.
Yes. No, I would not. I wouldn't want you to get in any trouble or anything like that. Don't worry. I was watching an interview with you. You were on a panel. I think it was shot before. I think it was from 2016. It's yourself and Jonathan Freeman on a stage. And there was a...
Oh, that was in Berlin. I think that was Berlin. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right to my memory. And I think you mentioned something about sometimes trying to... you like to operate the camera on set sometimes. Have I remembered that properly?
Absolutely, yeah.
What is it about getting hold of the camera that you you're not just someone who likes to stand to the side? You know, you, it seems like you really like to get involved with the full and creative process, right down to holding that camera and making sure that you get the shot that has been envisioned in your head.
You know, whilst it's great to work with operators, because, like I said, I love collaboration, and it's always nice to work with people. And there's obviously amazing operators out there who are way better than I am as an operator. But to me, I just love being right there. You know, being sitting on a monitor further away makes you feel very removed sometimes.
Hmm.
And I love filmmaking. I love watching actors work. I love I love being there. I love being close to the action, so to say. And there's a certain magic that happens, I think, when you're looking through an eyepiece and you're just right there. And I love that. So, and I come from low budget filmmaking. You know, it's a big thing for me. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. The other main question that I wanted to ask you a little bit again was just about your working and creative relationship with Dan and Dave, and how you work together. Like, I mean, you've said, you know, about your relationship with Miguel, that it's, you know, sometimes you say it sounds cliche to say, but, you know, something just, it clicks and you understand each other. Whereas, you know, working with two people who come from a slightly different, you know, slightly different background, they come from more of a writing background than a direction background. What was it when they approached you, Dan and Dave? I guess they approached you in what, 2012, 2013, something like that?
It must have been about 2013. I was shooting in Canada and we had a brief Skype chat, I think.
What was it about the Game of Thrones project that kind of sold it to you? What made you think, yeah, I'm going to, you know, this seems like something I would want to do, not just for a couple of episodes, but then maybe stick around?
Well, to be perfectly honest, in the beginning, I had no idea. I had never seen Game of Thrones before. I only heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shooting a lot overseas at that time. I was in the States quite a bit, and they had seen Sherlock and they loved my episode of Sherlock, The Scandal in Belgravia. And so my agent called me up saying, look, David and Dan want to talk to you about Game of Thrones. And, you know, he told me a little bit about, you know, it's a big show. Obviously I heard that it's a big show. It sounded really interesting. I knew that some really interesting DOPs were working on that in the previous season. So when I talked to David and Dan, we just had a very brief, very nice chat, and they were lovely, and I had a really good feeling about them, and having heard about the show, I was like, yeah, that sounds great. And then to stay on a show like this, it's an interesting thing, you know, because my agent sometimes said, you know, you've done Game of Thrones now, you don't have to do it again, we can look for something else. But with Thrones, it was just like it had like a real nice vibe, and the crew was always the same. Everybody always came back. It was a really great team. There was a sort of a great kind of family. It always sounds so cheesy, but when you shoot together for 10 months, it kind of becomes like a bit of a family. And it was just a great sort of vibe and a great crew. You know, as soon as we had done Hard Home and Meg and I got on the way we did, and I think, you know, we basically both at the end said, look, you know, if they want us to come back for season 6, we only come back together.
Can I ask, I don't know if you're actually allowed to, or if you want to say anything about this, but how come, was it just that they couldn't get hold of Miguel for season 7 and so you just said, okay, I'll wait until he's available? Because I think you were both missing for season 7.
We were. I actually don't remember quite how it went. I was shooting Justice League.
Yes. Yeah.
During season 7, so I couldn't have done it. And I think we just both said, you know, let's just take a break and then come back for season 8.
Yeah. and you come back for season 8 and 2, do the two biggest episodes, not only in the season, but perhaps the show in terms of scale and in terms of size. Did you find the long night and The Bells to be your most challenging episodes, or were you well enough into, were you, you know, blended into this bubble far enough now for it to be a process of, we definitely know, you know, we know what we're doing here. We have a very clear vision. We know what we're going to do with it. Or, you know, did you think that maybe your first episode was maybe your most challenging because it's first step into a new working environment?
They're just all different. I mean, my first episode on season 4 was definitely psychologically a much bigger challenge because I had never done a show of that size before. You know, I've said this before, but I was remember clearly walking into the throne room on season 4 for the first time for Reki, and I literally stood there and thought, fuck me, I have no idea how to light the space, just because it was so huge and so big. And, you know, so that was a huge step for me. And obviously season, and then, but you know, I think by season 8, because we had done, we sort of had a very nice gradual build up. We had season, we had Heart Home, that was pretty big. And then we did Bob, which was bigger.
Yeah.
And then we did season 8, which was bigger. So we kind of had like a gradual kind of increase in size. And like I said, with Miguel, it kind of, it all feels very natural. And we work together very well as a team. So it, of course it was a challenge, but it wasn't like a mountain that we couldn't climb or seemed unclimbable.
Do you mind if I ask a little bit more about how The Bells itself was conceived? Because that episode is filled with, at least in my opinion, and in the opinions of a lot of people I know and trust, and a lot of people out there on Reddit and in Twitter and places like that, is filled with some of the most brutal depictions of what war looks like.
I mean, I'm not normally involved in those conversations because that's more of a creative thing from a script point of view. I normally always say like, oh, do we really have to show that like that? Because I don't like violence. You know, it's part of the show, and then it works within the show, I guess. So like always, those scripts are really pretty solid, you know, with a really clear idea of what they want. And then Meg and I, we sit down, we break the script down, we break each scene down, we talk about what would be the most interesting way of shooting that particular scene, and then we break it down into days and or hours and see how much we can achieve within the time that we've been given.
Actually, that's an interesting thing for me to pick at, actually. Are you ever involved in, because I know that with Battle of the Bastards there were differences between what Dan and Dave thought could be achieved in a certain amount of time and what maybe yourself and Miguel thought could be achieved in a certain amount of time. How do you come to a happy medium? How do you come to a happy midpoint where you are when you finally reach that point where you all four of you are going, okay, we've finally settled on how many days this will take. Like how do they get tense at all? Like how do they go?
I think what makes Dan and David such great showrunners is that they want to push the bar every single time. So when they hand you a script, that you know it's going to be big. But then obviously, you know, we all work within the realms of, you know, there's money involved and time schedules, and on Thrones there's a particularly involved visual effects schedule and an air date, so you have to work towards that. So, you know, when you read one of their scripts, which they obviously want to push to the max, you know, I think they probably already know that, you know, this is going to get reined in somehow because of all the other constraints that we're under. But, you know, that's what makes them great, is because you've got to push it. You know, I think you've got to push it as much as you can, and then you rein it in and make it work. And so it's a conversation between Meg and I, David and Dan, the production, the producers and everybody, to see what we can achieve with what we have. And even though Game of Thrones is a show with a huge budget, you know, it's a very involved show that has its limits as well. So, so, but again, it's a collaboration, and we all know what's expected of each of us. And I think you kind of accept that and you go ahead and shoot as much and make the most of it.
I did just sort of want to round off by asking you a bit more of an open question, less about the technical side of things and more about your personal and emotional side of things. Like, what are your, like, when you think back, I mean, I know it was a long time ago now because everything, you know, it sort of finished, the show itself finished in 2019 and, you know, the bulk of the production slightly before that. But when you look back and you think like, oh, what a, you know, what a great few years, like what kind of memories stand out? Is there a particular day on set where like everything was going particularly well, or was there a day where things weren't going well and then something really transformed it and turned it around? Like what are your favorite memories of working on the show?
I think there were so many, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, first of all, I've always been incredibly grateful to David and Dan and to Bernie, our main producer, and to Miguel, eventually, after we met, to have been a part of Game of Thrones, because it was aside from the fact that it was a big show that kind of, you know, obviously also helped my career, to have worked on such a massive show with such, you know, people and you know, the amazing and interesting cast and all of that, you know, aside from that, it was also just personally, it was an incredible experience. You know, I made lifelong friends there. You know, I shot some cool stuff. So yeah, it was just, you know, it's very hard to put it into sort of a few words. I mean, when it comes to favorite moments, you know, favorite slash scary moments must be the first time I set foot into the throne room. One of my favorite times was season 8 when actually my wife was also working on it. So, you know, we spent a whole year together in Northern Ireland, whereas, you know, a lot of the times, you know, I'm on the job and she was on a different job. So we would be apart from each other, which, you know, we just had a great year in Ireland together, working on that show together. I mean, I remember some crazy rap parties, you know, that were particularly fun. Yeah, no, I remember some very tough days. You know, one of my favorite moments was probably, you know, I remember after we did that famous shot in Battle of the Bastards with John facing the horses coming towards him.
Yeah.
I remember that day, and I remember having just shot that shot and we rapped, and there was just like an unspoken kind of feeling between Mig and me as we were walking back to the car that this is going to be a fucking good episode. Yeah. You know, that was a great moment. I mean, there's just so many. It's really hard to say.
Well, yeah. I mean, working on a production of that size, and everybody I speak to that actually worked on the show, and everything you read about people who actually worked on the show as well, they all basically say the same thing, which is that as much as it was, you know, challenging because the scale of the show was so huge, and, you know, like you say, it wanted to push boundaries, and that meant that quite a lot of the actors and the people involved in the props department were pushing their own boundaries too, and it was challenging work. They always say that the feeling that they get left with is one of just, wow, wasn't that great? Like, wasn't that awesome? Wasn't that something to be really proud of?
Definitely.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, I don't know what... Like, I don't know if people speak to you untoward in public, like if you're just kind of out and someone goes, hey, you're Fabian Wagner. Here are a bunch of things I have to say about Game of Thrones, even though you're just going about your day.
That's definitely not me. Thankfully, people don't recognize me.
Is that not something that happens?
On the street, some just give me shit on Instagram for
making
it too dark.
Yeah, I should say to the people listening, I know you the guys that listen to this show like The Long Night anyway, and so they probably didn't want me to ask any questions about why was it too dark. I made a point of saying to Fabian that I wouldn't ask him any questions about why it was too dark, because we've all heard those questions and we've all heard his answers to those questions, and we're all tired of hearing people talk about it. Yeah, I mean, do you kind of see it now as like, oh, it's just part of the job? Like, I have to deal with people who come to me on Instagram with unsolicited advice about how I should have made it more bright, or how I should have. Or do you just
I'm totally fine with that. I mean, I think filmmaking is an art form, and art should be polarizing. And that means that not everybody's going to like it. And I think people also are very entitled to their opinions. The only thing I can say is that, you know, we made a creative decision of how to show the episode. And unfortunately, due to many things that happened in the process with the way it was transmitted and all sorts, and it didn't quite have the effect that it has.
Hmm.
But I can honestly say I've seen it now many times on various devices, from an iPad to a TV to the cinema. And if you watch it especially on the Blu-ray DVD in the right setting, it's all there. The one thing that I have to say shocked me, and that's something because I'm probably older and not quite so into this whole social media thing, but I actually got death threats on Instagram after that. And to me, that just becomes a little bit ridiculous, because, you know, there's so much shit, as we all know, in the world going on every single day. And if you just look at what's happening in the Ukraine right now, or anywhere in the world, really all the time, I think people are taking it a little bit too far with a TV show. But there you go, that's just me.
Yeah. Do you like watching your work back from Game of Thrones? Do you like just sort of like sit there and go, huh, I did that. The Sept of Baelor explosion in the Winds of Winter, like, I was very heavily involved in that.
I mean, it's not that I dislike watching it, but I don't think I'm telling myself how great I am. I've been very fortunate, and for the things that I've been involved in, I feel very lucky and I feel very grateful. And I look back at things, you know, to me now, when I was a bit younger, I think in my first 10 years of my career, I would watch things back a lot, mainly because I'm very, I think like probably most DPs are very self-critical. And so, you know, you watch things back and you only see the bad things, you only see the mistakes, and you look at, oh, I wish I could have done this differently. I wish I could have done this differently. And, you know, I would spend, you know, you shoot for 12 days and then you go home and you spend 2 hours watching the rushes, and then you agonize over the mistakes you've made. To me now, like, for quite a while, life is too short, I've got to say. Yeah. You know, I enjoy shooting and I do the best that I can every single day I'm on set. But I now enjoy my time off and the time with my wife and my kids and my dogs. And, I actually enjoy the time not thinking about shooting and filmmaking. And so, no, I don't watch my stuff back a lot. I mean, I did watch Game of Thrones because we were actually, you know, both my wife and I were, you know, we were working on the show, but we were also fans of the show. You know, we loved watching it. So when it did come out, we obviously, every year we did watch it.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Fabian. The countless hours that you put in and days that you put in to putting together at least part of this TV show and a significant part of it. And me personally, some of my favorite episodes of television, like not just Game of Thrones, but television itself. Like, when I think about Game of Thrones, the defining episodes and images for me, most of them come from The Winds of Winter, Battle of the Bastards, The Bells, The Long Night, Hard Home, they define a lot of what I have come to enjoy and expect from television. And they, and I know that there are people listening who will want to say exactly the same thing.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you. I'm glad that you mentioned the Winds of Winter, because I think that's actually my favorite one. I think that, that especially the opening of that.
I'll be honest. The only reason I've not really asked you any questions about it is because I had a few questions to get through, and The Winds of Winter is my favorite episode of TV. And I knew that if I asked you one question about it, we could have been here for hours. And I know that there were more, maybe more pressing matters around the outside of it. But yeah, the Sept of Baelor sequence, and I mean, what doesn't happen in that episode? I think that's what we, that's what our conclusion was when we covered it a few weeks ago on the show. Our conclusion was, what doesn't happen there? Mm. Like, even something so small like Sam turning up at the Citadel Library is treated with such emotional import and such elegance and such beautiful music that even something as small as that feels like the culmination of a huge story for Sam by that point. And if something as small as that can feel as large as it does in that episode, then the large stuff just feels like I get sensory overload from it. It takes me about 5 hours to calm down after I've watched it.
I think that's, I mean, that's one of the things that Miguel is so good at, you know, and I think that was always the, I think for us, we always talk about that episode because I think we enjoyed, that's probably one of the ones we enjoyed the most, you know, because it was so varied and diverse. And I think what Ramin did with the music and, you know, was very different, was, so special, and yeah, it was good.
Well, I mean, I know you can't say anything about House of the Dragon, but I know that I'm very much looking forward to it because I know that the creative team behind it are responsible for some amazing things that I've really loved and really enjoyed. And hey, one day, if you are allowed to talk about House of the Dragon, we're, our door is always open to you, Fabian.
Well, let me know. It's, I think I'm, I can't actually even say when it comes out, but when it's out, you know, once it's been out, I'm obviously allowed to say more. Well, what I can say is I've just been in the Color Grade a couple of weeks ago in London, and I watched episode one, and yeah, that was fun.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
No problem. Good luck. Thanks for being a Game of Thrones fan. The show wouldn't be the same with all of you, without all of you. So, you know, all of you have made it into this huge beast that nobody expected. I think that's in season one or two. So,
well, thank you for your work.